This is session number 140 with Bob, maybe Carolyn, and JW and Ion. It's September 5th, 2009, copyright 2009, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved. And we're starting at 7:20 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good morning.
Now, I have some other topics to begin, but I just thought as we were starting, this is the 40th anniversary of an important date in the Cosmic Awareness Movement, Dave Worster Department, Dave Worster's mediumship. It was on September 5th, 1969, which the apex of polarity was resolved, or something, it's complex, but Rai returned to the plane of essence in January 67, and then there was 2 years of polarity, and it kind of peaked on September 5th, 69, and it was in October 69, later national security documents came out that Nixon was contemplating nuking Cambodia or North Vietnam. It was a very tough time, but there were massive protests in the middle of October 69, which kind of intimidated him a bit. Anyways, we were in Seattle at that point, so this is Ion, this is time, not your field, not your department, but it is an interesting 40th anniversary, and Carolyn and I had a good day today, so any comment on that, or do you need a question?
What do you think?
You need a question.
That sounds reasonable to us.
Well, it's interesting, in the thinning of the veil thinned a lot for many people in the last 40 years?
You were spot on until you did the 40 years.
Oh, yeah. Okay, but, okay, well, I'm, okay, of this time in, well, there's no time, in the experience of the TV era, when there was TV, well, maybe it happened in other times too, but the, I guess, forget it. We can't even get into it. We don't know where we are, but...
No, just ask the question and don't qualify it with all your false premises. If there's something you want to know, just ask it, and we promise we'll play with you. We like you.
What did Dave Worster and the people around the Cosmic Awareness Movement mean by the apex of polarity, and why did
they... Gotcha. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Here's what happened. They started having resonance. Dave Worster was in a weird place.
Yeah.
He didn't understand what was going on. He saw things happening through the love child era.
Yeah.
He was exposed to new dynamics, and for the very first time, people started questioning authority. They started wondering how authority begat their place of beingness. They started not understanding why.
Yes.
And then that pushing against opened up a dynamic or a, in your quantum physics field, it would be what you call an anomaly.
Yeah.
It was a void that could not fill itself.
Yeah.
And that void that could not fill itself did. And that was through, and now they called it all kinds of things because they had to reincarnate Rai, and they had to tap into the metaphysical field and validate those Akashic records, and they had to figure out what happened to the physical when it became non-physical, and they had to figure out what to do with the unquiet undead. They had to come into these mystically persuasive, magical means that they, everything that couldn't be explained away, fit into the awareness that had a cosmic connotation.
Mm.
And once that became a relaxing, allow thing rather than a push against, I'm lost and undone,
yeah.
Then Dave Worster found himself in a place where he had to, one, shut up about it eternally, or two, start opening himself into this dynamic that was.
Mm.
And see, for his world, it was. And he had no words. He had no way of explaining the girth that was trying to be... okay, let's do it this way. It was like you have this great big pimple come up on your face, and you don't know what it came from, and you don't know why it's there, and it has all this stuff, and it's pressure, and it's ugly, and you want to make it be released, and it won't seem to come up to a head. Well, it finally, this is your 40th anniversary, if you've got to establish some meme of time or reference of Stack Nails to where the pimple busted. And once that the sebaceous cyst opened, then the pressure was released. And once the pressure was released, then the great big nasty thing was exposed. And the great big nasty thing was what you call cosmic awareness.
Right.
And many had dabbled into that plot process, but they were all doing it for how to cover their quivers to make sure they were full.
Yeah.
And he stopped all that foolishness and went back to the basics of the dynamics that were trying to be flushed out.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about a monetary transition.
Right. That's exactly.
And that was the big play that came into dividing the cosmic awareness crowd, because some were doing it just for the free love money aspect, and others were doing it from a dynamic that there was a bigger thing than they understood. Now, the corruption that came out of cosmic awareness was a healing process.
For those that were corrupted, you mean?
No, for those that were feeling the pressure of the sebaceous cyst.
Right, the corrupted part was
the pus that was in the bump.
Right, and it was a healing. Oh, the corrupt. So the medium that came after Dave Webster was the healing?
Yes. Well, and now Dave was a big part of the healing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it divided cosmic awareness.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Now, in that division, it would be like you're standing on the Red Sea, and you go, who's for me and who's against me?
Yeah.
So then those that are for me, come on and let's cross the Red Sea to the Promised Land. And them that ain't, you must be that from some of Pharaoh's crowd, and you're lost and undone anyway, and so therefore you can be consumed in that pillar of fire. And then the righteous, cosmically aware ones that followed this warrior, this prophet, this speaker of all, this knower of most, this engager of many, could then follow this hippie, well, we don't want to use the wrong connotative
yeah.
word, but the hippie awareness of being hip.
Yeah, no,
not in a negative, but a
relax
a
and allow. Hip. Relax and allow hip.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Of course.
Now, is that the ones following Dave or following Paul? Which are those?
Dave.
The righteous ones went with Dave, I see. Yeah.
If that's what you want to add a connotation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we're getting this from you, so,
yeah.
You know, that's the way it plays out.
Yeah.
Now, he kept his sanity in the craziness.
Yes, he did.
Not many have.
Of that group.
Correct.
That's right.
Because it was all relatively okay. And he had words, and he didn't understand those words. Well, when you don't understand words that you're embracing, sometimes it can make you a little crazy.
Yeah.
And he didn't, because he always grounded it back to, okay, here this concept is, what do we do with it? In private conversations with him, here is the concept, what do we do with it?
Yeah.
That was his biggest question.
Yeah.
Or his notable quotable. Okay, if you have all knowledge, all power, all reference, all knowingness, why do you have it? Is it for a reason? And what's the process?
And that kept him grounded, asking
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Well, because then it didn't lead him off into the abyss.
Which the other medium kind of did.
Pretty much,
yeah. Yeah, well, that's very accurate. Now, of course, that is gotten for me, and that's probably how I see it, right? You've added a bit. Have you added a bit to what I see?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, you clarified it or something.
Concepts that you embraced and that Connie knew.
Yeah.
And it's always really great when she joins, just because it makes it understandable.
You mean when she engages in whatever I'm engaged in?
When she's listening,
yeah.
We know this.
Oh, you mean when she's listening now?
Yes.
When her mind is interacting, it helps.
It actually fills in the blanks of the gulfs of your thought processes.
Because she knows some of what we're talking about.
Well, she knows you, and she knows when you're going off the ravine, and she's grinding her teeth, which she doesn't do, but then when that we feel that, and then it brings us back to center to get any good that is good out of the conversation and proceed on.
Yeah. Right, but I I get that, but I thought maybe you were saying that you can get some of the cosmic awareness experience 40 years ago partly from me and partly from her. You don't mean that.
Certainly.
You do? You do mean that.
Yes, because she found it was a little strange and somewhat ooey.
Yeah, I think most of my stuff that I got involved in, she thought was a hooey, though she was interested, but not...
Well, she slept with you, and she figured if you were going to do it, it wouldn't be too bad, and if it's not, it would work itself out.
I know what it is. I would take the nutty stuff that might appear nutty to her, and I would make it relatively sane, and so she would interact with my interpretation of those materials, but not the people who were engaged in them, because they were nuts.
Well, the ones that were so far out there that you couldn't get there from now.
Yeah, so she learned about... So it was always Bob stuff, because Bob would meet these people, get the stuff, turn it into his way of doing it, and that was acceptable to Carol.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now you'd get on the edge a little bit, but she'd draw you back to some sense of consciousness, because it's kind of like, Bob, okay, this is, now what does that mean?
Yeah.
And if you could tell what it meant, then okay, fine, and if you couldn't, then she was done until you could.
Yeah. So that that's a good assessment of what the 40th anniversary is of. All right, so we go into some points here that I have. Talking to Barbara Ann today, she said there's something special happening, she feels, on September 22nd, the equinox, maybe some extra vibratory.
The vernal equinox.
Yes. What do you call the summer one?
The
June 21st.
Well, you have the tropic it's the Tropic of Cancer in that evolving process that it ushers into spring.
Well, you have the spring equinox, and that's in June, right?
Well, no, it's in May, but yeah.
May. But there's something... Then there's a summer solstice on June 21st.
Correct.
And then this one is the vernal equinox, September 22nd. That's the fall becoming the
fall,
autumn.
The autumn.
All right, so does Ion see something? Since we're at the end of the beginning, it's part of this July 22nd resonance, and the eclipse is so... There's some things happening on the 22nd. Do you see something significant there around the 22nd?
Yes.
What is it? What is significant?
Well, we were just trying to see how far you wanted it, because sometimes you just want the answer. You don't want the conclusion.
Right. Well, Barbara, I see that the July 22nd one was significant, and I would...
It begins the fall of the economic systems. It begins the place that people start questioning the value of the what you call your currency. It becomes when Sallie Mae officially files for documenting paperwork, which won't come out that day, but that's when it starts, that the government bonds and that the bonds that have been sold in the put market are called. It begins the time when you start having a scathing collective implosion. Because when folks start pulling their bonds, which this goes into the not so much your junk business when talking about from that market, but from the double E Eisenhower bonds, there's a big load of double E Eisenhower savings bonds that are about to be placed on the market, and they can't be sold because there's nothing to back them up. And when it goes back to the Treasury's not going to be able to fulfill either the interest or the principal on those bonds, and that's going to send a shockwave that you think Mauna Loa is going to rage. You wait till that hits your Lou Dobbs.
So the is that those bonds are from the Eisenhower era?
No.
Okay.
No. That's just Series E and Double E's. Now, they've tried to convert them all into something that's called iShares.
Okay.
And that's very significant, and you don't know what that is, and that's okay. Connie can look it up if she so desires, and you can really get enlightened with that process. but that becomes from, those are rounded, wrangled, embraced in something formed that would be known as I shares, which you can look on your chip body and they'll tell you more than you want to know, but we don't want to use our precious, valuable experience explaining something that you can find out on your own.
Right.
So, but that's how those are going to show up. Okay, now here's the next phase. Next phase then. Then once Sallie Mae gets into issue, then that means that the VA and all the government contracts that are start to become in question. And they've already bailed out all that they can bail out, so there's nothing to bail more to bail. They're out of buckets. So therefore, what they've pissed away, and we're getting cheeky because we don't mean this as a gloom and doom.
No.
We're just asking, you ask, and you said, do you really want to know? And you were like, yes, so here you know.
Right.
Once that begins, you've heard this from your other worlds about these dates, the 19th, the 11th, the 15th, the 14th, that all these things are going to come bubbling.
Yeah.
All those dates, every single one of them are significant because they're different aspects of a checks and balance process that's left exposed.
Yes.
So each one of those dates will be a different dynamic or ramification of that fall or falling away. And see, now here we don't necessarily say that's a problem, but when the veterans' VA loans are now no longer covered, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, so the end of the beginning, July 22nd, and we had a big beginning of the beginning happened a year ago in September, October, so now we're going into the middle. And at some point in 2010, it'll be the end of the middle, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Well, we don't do the time thing because you're the driver. You had an interesting concept earlier that Connie was playing with from your April reading you were working, looking for a reason.
Yeah.
Well, if you'd like to, this fits really nicely into what you're discussing. What about the topic or the topical injunction of... what's the reason for looking?
Right.
What's the reason for looking?
You've thoroughly established from where you are right now in the catch-up mode of looking for a reason.
Yeah, that's the topic of... that's the title in the notes for that whole half an hour section of the reading.
So, why don't we play with, if you'd like, a little bit of the reason for looking?
Okay, but before we get there, let's finish a couple distracting topics like this. I just want to, if we talk about the July 22nd, but the end of the beginning, then normally you would say, well, okay, we're into the middle. And so we're into the...
yes, it is progressive, but it doesn't have to be. So just let that unfold. Don't get ahead, because if you get ahead, the mystery won't be quite as enticing as you're going along.
Right, but okay, now here's the...
ease up on that, it'll flow, and...
but I want to give you some... yeah, I want to give, before we go into the looking, there was this guy...
oh, we don't have to do that at all, that was just for fun.
Yeah, no, just to say, well, maybe, but let me just finish this point, is that right now there's articles saying Obama's image is mud and all this.
You mean Samuel Mud?
Yes, yeah, Samuel Mud.
You know who that is, don't you?
No, I forget. It sounds familiar.
Samuel Mudd was one of the co-conspirators with Abraham Lincoln through the Confederate States of America.
To make the greenbacks?
Beg your pardon?
To make the greenbacks?
No. He was one of the conspirators that was to assassinate President Lincoln.
Oh, okay.
And you've heard of the topic of someone saying that his name is Mudd?
Yes, that's what it refers to.
Well, that's Samuel Mudd, because he was put in jail and later was exonerated, that he didn't have anything to do with it, but history still records him as the co-conspirator with your shooter for Lincoln, as within the Confederacy.
Right. And
the CSA, which was working closely in ties with Queen Victoria, for her to... she wanted the South to win.
Yes.
And that was that whole conspiracy process. But the Mudd, his name was Mudd, was from Samuel Mudd as a conspirator, that all the bridges were closed except for the one that John Wilkes Booth escaped by,
yes.
And all this scientism of working out every minute detail, and then they all wondered why that President Lincoln didn't have a bodyguard. Well, here's why, because when he went to the Ford Theater, he never had a bodyguard, and it was Good Friday, for Pete's sake. So it was probably one of the most religious days, that if some tomfoolery was going to go on, it wouldn't be on Good Friday.
But he brought his bodyguard that day.
He did not.
Oh, okay.
He never did. He didn't even have bodyguards at the White House in those days. Somebody could walk in the door. If you wanted an audience with the president, you could walk in.
So why are you bringing up this bodyguard point?
Because of the conspiracy process that supposedly Samuel Mudd was all trying to sift the navigation process through, when it was kind of foolishness all the way through. But you brought it up of the Samuel Mudd, of his name is Mudd.
Yes.
So we thought we'd give you nickels worth of history.
Very interesting. So are you saying that Queen Victoria ordered the assassination of Lincoln?
She did.
Yeah, because the Evergreens told me it was Seward, the Secretary of the Treasury, was the trigger man in their scenario. And it was a battle over the taxation or the money situation that was being
It was
built.
The Office of the Treasury.
Right, but
The North Sea wanted it to be from a compensative reference. The South owned the slaves. The South owned the cotton. The plantation owners controlled what the goodness of the earth was bringing, ushering forth, from the sugar cane to the cotton, and they had to have access to the labor to run it. And England was very much in support of the South, the Confederacy, winning, because they would have then access to all those goods. Because you got to remember, UK at that point was a kind of an island to itself.
Yes.
So every good and wonderful thing that had to go through, that the sun would never set on their empire, they had to have goods and services, and the South had something to offer, and the North was just consumers.
Right. So the Evergreens said that the new economic structure that was being rebuilt after the end of the Civil War, Seward represented factions that didn't like what Lincoln was bringing in.
Well, of course.
And then,
and his wife didn't either, because Mary Todd owned more slaves than most Southerners ever thought to have.
Because in Illinois, where she came from, they had slavery. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. She was prominent. She was
prominent. Southern family?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I didn't know that. But the point is, she didn't like that. The economic, the Evergreens talked about it locally, but there was a larger international involvement represented by Queen Victoria.
Well, yes, but there was no international concern in those days. It was all hush-hush and just secrets.
Yeah.
You know, backdoor business.
And there is no, the only person who says the British monarchy has killed a lot of people over the last 100 years in American life is Lyndon LaRouche. He's the only one who takes that line. I don't know if he could prove it. But it's the first, other than him, I've heard, hearing Ion say the Queen of the British monarchy was involved in this. So, and that would involve what we call the City of London, which she represented in some way, right?
Well, that's right. And specifically, the Bank of England.
Yes, right.
That was the players.
Right, and they were very powerful and did what they wanted to in the 19th century, right?
Only because Chateau Lafitte was linked to it.
Did you say linked?
Linked. Yes.
Yeah, it was linked, and that's the House of the Red Shield.
Well, the Rothschild.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know whether you wanted to say it, but
just go right ahead, Bob.
So the Rothschilds were the it was a yin and yang, hand in glove relationship between Queen Victoria and the Chateau Lafitte, right? I mean, the Bank of England is the Rothschilds. Is that what you're saying?
No. No, it was because of the Chateau Lafitte resources that kept the pound strong.
Right.
That's where the Queen, that was the Queen's bank.
And the Rothschild were the main family in the bank, I guess you're saying.
Well, certainly what you call of the directors.
Yes. Okay, so we were, we got on to Lincoln. What did I bring up?
You were asking about, you were talking about Lincoln.
But just before that, why did we get into Lincoln? Because I don't know why. What was my question? It didn't start off with Lincoln.
With mud.
No, then we were talking about before that. Oh, we were talking about the September 22nd So I wanted to say that the, and then you wanted to go into some metaphysical principle. Forget what it is, but we'll remember.
The reason for looking, but it doesn't matter.
No, that's all right. So anyways, I heard this psychic guy, not a psychic, but the cultural prophets, sees the Obama administration really backed into a corner by November. And
well, they're pretty close to there now.
Right, and that makes, but it's almost like they're going to have to resign by November.
Well, you come up with all that kind of foolishness.
No, I'm just saying, I'm exaggerating. I'm just saying it's going to be pretty intense for Obama, and it is right now, but with the September 22nd and these coming due of all these things, the iShares and everything, it's going to be more intense than last autumn.
For sure. Because here's the fun part. Last autumn, you would have someone who could take the office. There's not another American who would want to take the succession at this point.
That's right. Yeah.
They would never bring articles of impeachment because they don't want anybody else to be in the office.
And no one else wants to be there.
Nobody else wants to be there. That's why, do you understand that it became Palin's delight not to be the vice president? It became McCain's asset to not be saddled with that culpable responsibility. Isn't it interesting with the ties that the Clintons have that it would have been quite a spit in the face for Hillary to be exposed to this type of, we would call it incredulous insulation. She's now Secretary of State, which is now a great, fine job, but you ain't really responsible for anything.
That's right. So she was happy she didn't win, is what you're saying.
Oh, delighted.
Right, now, but the...
But remember, it's good to be the king.
That's right, but when McCain started running in late 2007 or whenever, early 2008, the attitude of being delighted that he didn't win would have happened well into the campaign. It didn't start before the campaign, and he said, okay, I'll go in there and fake a running even though I don't want to win.
He watched his other Republican counterparts and the good sides of what was left of the Republican side of the grand old party.
Yeah.
Republican and Democrat doesn't mean anything anymore, but the grand old party, when they started losing elections, well, no, actually they didn't start losing elections. The Republicans started retiring. They didn't seek re-election.
Yes.
They left office. They were like, I'm not seeking another term.
Yeah.
No, thank you. I'm retiring. I'm good. Because once they've served, they get their salary for the rest of their days. So what's the point of sitting on a subcommittee that's not going to have any money to do anything?
Right, but so McCain saw them. You see, was McCain, why did he start running? He saw everybody resigning and he...
That didn't start until that fall. He took the nomination just because he was sort of the last man in the room.
Right.
And everybody wanted it, but not really. I mean, my stars, they made more hay. The Republicans made more hay on Lorne Michaels' Saturday Night Live than they did with the Electoral College, for Pete's sake.
You mean made more hay doing what? I mean,
becoming known, famous, having their platform put out there, and it was
with Sarah Palin. When Palin was set, right?
John McCain as well.
Yeah.
It was just over the top, très hilaire.
Right, right.
As the French would play with that, because they got their foundation in place and didn't have to run for anything. They weren't hurt by all this foolishness. And now South Island doesn't even...
They weren't hurt by the comedy, Saturday Night Live, or what are you referring to?
The exposure that was coming down the pike of their platform was ignored, but it was all comedy. It was all funny.
Right, right. Okay.
So much so that Sarah Palin doesn't even want to be the president, doesn't even want to be the governor of Alaska anymore.
Because she was ridiculed and it still lingers.
It's foolish. It's crashing. Who wants to be the sitting captain of the Titanic when it takes its big voyage?
And she can see that by looking at the statistics that her government has to work with.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Okay, so listen to this. The Republican convention was around September 4th, 1st, 2nd, well, you know, last year, right this weekend. And the crash starts so by the 8th with the Fannie Mae and all that. It started right after the convention.
Well, Freddie Mac.
Yes, Freddie Mac. So they knew, McCain, everybody had left by a year before, is what you're saying, in the Republican Party, and he knew.
It was all in when they came up for re-election, they just didn't seek a seat.
Yeah, and they lost badly in 2006, and from that point on, they lost their enthusiasm. McCain was the last one to still be standing, and he agreed to make a valiant effort, even though he hoped he didn't win.
Well, that's right. Otherwise, you'd be left with Ron Paul, and that'd be a little unnerving.
Would Ion like Ron Paul to be president?
We don't like anyone as president.
Right. You think it's a silly institution?
Well, you give this job to someone that they spend $100 million plus to get elected for that only pays $450,000 a year, and you have all the power that is, and you have to be responsible for this football that the Eagle One has to carry and be responsible, culpable, responsible in his place of being this as he's tricking along through life, and yet being the fall guy for everything that is, and getting the benefit of all that isn't.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Because you're pressed in a corner, you've painted yourself... By the time you arrive at the office, you've painted yourself into a corner. And any way you go to get out of that corner, you're going to leave footprints.
You're going to make footprints, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so the...
When you say you love us more than we know,
it's an interesting phrase.
It's like you're inside us more than we know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and... You are us.
The non-physical part, absolutely.
Well, that's what you are. You're the non-physical.
Yeah.
But you mean the non-physical part of us.
Yeah.
So you're saying you love us more than we know because to the amount we love ourselves, you love us at least that much.
And more.
And more because the non-physical of ourselves loves us more than our physical self loves ourselves.
Allows.
Than our physical self allows herself to love herself.
That's exactly. Yeah. Very good words, Bob.
Law of reality, right?
Yes, until the tachyon pulse has changed the law and then nothing is going to apply. That's the bodies that you're talking about, the convergence. You keep sneaking it in of the convergence of the bodies.
Yes, very good.
And that's what's happening. And once that gets undone, then there are no rules. And then the rulist becomes anarchy, and then the martial law is flowing, and then the guns are out, and they're shooting, and spitting, and grumbling, and taking on like wild. Mama, get the kids in, there's a wild man in the yard.
Yeah, that's what that famous Mel Gibson Road Warrior, or Mad Max, or something, that famous movie showing that anarchy 10 years ago. But what you just said, the convergence of the chip TV, astral, and physical, chemical body, creates the mystery landscape or unfolds the mystery landscape. So are we saying that tachyons are going to be the particles for the mystery landscape?
No, the tachyons are going to undo all the rules regarding the bodies because tachyons go faster than your recordable speed of light.
Yeah, it goes past the rules of the chip body and the chip technology.
Yeah, the chemical body, because once you dispel time, then you no longer have to age.
Is that faster than the astral body?
It is.
That's interesting. Okay, then.
But now, wait a second. Think about what you just said. Is that faster than the astral body? Well, if the tachyon process dispels time itself, how then you no longer have to age, how could that be faster than the astral body if there's no gauge of time in the temporal experience of the quantitative place of attaching time to your formulas and rules and regulations? It actually slows it down faster than the astral body, because the astral body now becomes a fixed place that you judge your other bodies in proportion toward.
Yeah, that's, first of all, I'd say Kent and the Indians are trying to retrieve the astral body because they can't take the speed of the tachyon body.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And it's in what that's doing is concentrating the flow.
Yeah, I wanted to say, just we're having a very good point here, because I don't know if Ian knows that I understand this. The astral body is where you go, supposedly, when you go into non-physical, but if the non-physicals merge with the physical, we don't need an astral body, and the tachyon is the particle representing the complete thinning of the veil.
Yes, and now we don't, let's be clear, so that they don't blow you up when they start listening to this. It's not the tachyon, it's the tachyon pulse.
Pulse. It's not a particle. It's a pulse. It's a relationship.
Correct.
It's a tactility. It's a kind of a dialectic. Okay, now, when I say...
So they don't start shooting you because you used the wrong word.
Okay, the thing is, it's good you've noticed that I've been talking about the convergence of the chip, chemical, astral, and TV body. Now, I said, been saying that for a couple of years, and I finally said... The convergence has arrived, and all rules are off, and
yeah.
My term for that is the mystery landscape, okay? So we've arrived at the mystery landscape over the past year or so, and it actually showed up in politics or in the TV body, where they don't know where this presidential body came from, don't know where it's born. This is in popular language, you know, the old medium. And then they can't find Michael Jackson's body. These are expressions, popular expressions of the TV body, of the actual hidden ground of arriving at the convergence, which creates the mystery landscape. And that's why we have a lot of these disappearances and warehouse TV body shows showing this stuff. I totally understand and have been announcing the mystery landscape for a year. And Ion can be seen as a mystery landscape phenomenon showing up. And us arriving in Hawaii through the... fifth gate, was it, or the ninth gate? I think it was the fifth gate. Is another part of entering the mystery landscape. That's why I have no problem exercising the bodies.
Very good, but here's our new position. If you want to go, if you want to jump in the river, just know that you're going to get wet.
Yeah.
What happens when you expose the mystery landscape completely? What is it then?
That's a mystery. It's a mystery land.
Now, if you give full quantitative definition of all the other bodies, but everything that's unknown is a mystery. It's like the closet that just never gets full. But once you start exposing the mysteries of the mystery landscape, then they become territorially understood.
All right, now that's partly what Ion has done. We've been in the mystery landscape for a year or so, and then we started to know it and actually understand or have categories.
It became a body.
And that became those two bodies, the abducted by foreign worlds and the parallel worlds, our two known mystery bodies. So we arrived in the mystery landscape a year or so ago in mythical time. Once upon a time, we arrived. And
upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary.
Is that Raven? Which poem is that?
That's the Raven.
Yeah. So the point is that... Remarkably, if anybody was tracking my perceptual leading edge, as I pronounced the mystery scape, it showed up in the TV body, it showed up in geomagnetic storms, and it showed up with Bob working with Ion. I mean, right on schedule.
Yes, it also showed up in the chemical body.
By the chemical body, for us, being moved to Hawaii, you know.
No. We weren't being ethereal. We were being specific. Your chemical body is activating these resonance or residues of these other activations of these bodies. Now your chemical body is responding to this new converging place.
Now, you know, that's what I've been saying. See, you're yes. getting this for me. I say, I call it the anthropomorphic physical. The very thing yes. that thinks it's human, it's a measuring thing. I'm human and there's a world around me, and it calibrates about what's going on.
Well, you're human because you have this many acting cells that are replacing. And when you stop replacing cells, then you're croaked. And then there's no more chemical body. When I wait, that's confusing. You're only human whole when you have this many cells. But even those cells drop in and out of perspective, meaning that they can't, with your string theory, you can't attach a number of cells that apply to being human or not being human. Okay, because those cells go in and out of these dimensions at will. You can't pinpoint a proton in an ionic field unless you know its neutron value that's attached. And when you start pinpointing them, that's why the atoms are kind of difficult to split. It's because as soon as they pin him one up, it disappears. It shows up and disappears. It shows up and disappears. That's the dynamic. You're going to have to get to this place. Well, no, you don't have to. But it sure will serve you well when you can get to the place when you start talking about the 11th dimension.
Right, and I could look that up in string theory and see how they define it?
Well, and they're wrong, but you make your own, it's fine. But if you could take the five bodies and work it through 11 dimensions, then you'd be spot on.
And that's what Walter Boward said. He said, my chart, he said that through James, my cash flow person, you know, said through James that my time, my chart would get very complicated dealing with time, and that's what you're talking about. It gets more complicated.
Yeah, because there is no time. So, yeah, it would get real complicated. But if you could find a way through 11 dimensions to dispel time, then guess what? You simplified everything, Bob.
Okay, I'm reminded of a statement Ion said a while ago, probably when I was going through the archive. We are going to do 111 works.
Yep.
There's your 11, partly your 11, with 100 in front of it. But that's just a side thing. Okay. Now, in the mystery landscape, that means all rules are off, so that the astral body can affect the chemical body can affect the TV body. They all start affecting each other in a weird mix. And they try
to keep up with it, and they try to count it and keep up with it through the chip body, and it's going so fast that the numbers won't even register.
Yeah, and then the chemical body doesn't even care and takes off in its own world in a way.
Because it's only significant because of the number of cells that it can produce and reproduce and replicate.
Yeah, and you were just saying that the cells riff-ride themselves, so to speak.
Well, that's the whole thing that they're proving, that they focus on a matter, and they look at it, and they have it, and the next thing you know, it disappears.
And that's where the concept of the tachyon is coming useful?
No. Tachyon pulse is different.
Yeah, it changes even that. It changes even that.
Very good. It actually is the reason for looking.
The tachyon is?
Yes.
Yeah, the reason for looking is like saying the reason for breathing. The very action of looking, physiological act.
Because beforehand we were built it all from the process of looking for a reason. Well, now you're coming to a new place of the reason for looking.
Right, because looking is the sighted world, and then it gets more sophisticated, and you're...
Carol Lewis had it all right when they started getting the looking glass.
Yeah. And okay, so the... So this
that's old news, but all of a sudden now it's certainly activated from a whole new paradigm of, wait a second, you mean I can go through the Glamira and go to another world? And we say, yes, you can.
But this idea that you're saying the chemical body is in a new place of activation, that is possible in the mystery landscape. And I have been sort of saying that as the media shrinks and people can't see the TV body or the chip body, they think their chemical body is transcended or bigger than those old environments. And
bigger than life, I think is what you call it.
Yeah, bigger than media life. And
No, bigger than life.
Okay, and...
Now, think that easy.
No, the chemical body is bigger than the chemical body as it was understood as a result of the miniaturization.
Yeah, but our way said a lot more bang for the buck. Yours explains that ours was just saying bigger than life and leave it alone, because then it's like, how can you be bigger than life? Well, then you can, and you don't have to have a reason. You don't have to look for a reason. You can You can have a reason for looking. Doesn't matter. I'm bigger than life. It's
right.
It unlimits. It unlimits the bodies. So much of this dynamic that is very easy, and you had to do it so people could attach and embrace it at all.
Yeah.
But so much of your process is not a false premise. It's right on. But don't use all day, every day, your power as a creator to limit the dimensions of how it applies to the bodies. Liberate the bodies a bit.
I do that. These categories come up, and then I play it down. I said, look, it's just a model to help you get a handle on.
No. It's bigger than that. But instead of qualifying it, is that this is this body, this is this body, liberate them a bit and allow them to be unlimiting, and then you're going to have a larger capacity, and then they, who is they? I don't even know who they is, but they, the ones you're talking to,
yeah,
might decide that they would split those five bodies, and there are five, and then with them interacting with those five bodies, you'd have your 11 dimensions, and it would be pretty simply eloquent, don't you think?
Right, you split the five bodies because there's two of everything.
Because 11 is only divisible by the creator and the whole total.
What does it mean? What is the creator? What number is the creator if 11 is?
Number 11. You are the creator.
So I can divide it.
By one or by all 11.
Okay.
It's not divisible by any other means.
Now, what you've been saying is very close to what I've been saying.
Well, imagine that.
Yeah. Now, now, wait a minute. Here it is. Well, why am I talking to myself? Well, you have to pretend you're a little different from me. Just so
Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah. Need a little contrast. Okay,
here's
the sandpaper, Bob. Rough it up a little bit. We're good.
And don't want to have you get everything from me. Let's pretend you're getting something from somewhere else. From the tachyon.
Oh, you in a tachyon world would be probably more than you could digest, but we don't mind. We'll try and work you like a dose of salt. It's all right with us.
All right, but this whole thing you're saying about make the bodies irrelevant, body smaller, bigger than pet. Now, I've been trying to talk to it, and I have used ION since March 25th. I announced, like the chemical body saying, I'm bigger than life. I said, look, we don't have to eat. We don't have to die anymore. That was the March 12th. A week after ION showed up, I immediately adapted and erased all the bodies and said, it's all over. This was pretty hard for a lot of the regulars to get. You know what I mean?
But yet it completed. It completed the largeness that is their beingness.
That's right.
Our only problem with the bodies is it was a limiting. The qualifier was limiting. But you've used that as a meme to expand it, and all we're saying, the only thing we're suggesting, and please yourself because you are anyway, but if you could enlarge this for as you're doing, then it becomes a very delicious place. You don't have to limit it to 31 flavors of ice cream. You can have millions of flavors of ice cream. But then you say, well, now, wait a second. The chip body gets so full, the chemical body doesn't know the difference between flavor 2,413,000 and number one.
Yes.
And so you get so much choice that you don't appreciate any ice cream because there's too many choices. And there's just no way you can get through the wilds of your mind and the labyrinth of your mind that you haven't bothered to lay the conduit through to get them to the place where they can arrange and come into a place of embracing this whole concept that you have choice.
That's right. If you follow my threads in Five Body, you'll see me talking with the five bodies, and then someone will respond and say, well, I get a handle on the TV body and the chip body, and I'll come back and say, oh, forget the bodies. We're in a mystery landscape now. You know, I keep erasing what I'm creating as part of pointing out the mystery landscape.
Really?
Yeah, and so I've been doing what you're saying.
And so if you could do that, then you would be a pretty marvelous creator, because you'd be uncreating your creation.
Yeah, well, I'm a tachyon. I move faster than what I created, faster than the speed of whatever you thought you were looking at.
That's very good. But when you start undoing the rules, that's good. But when you start when you start undoing the rules, what you do is you shake them off the tree. It's kind of like a fleas on a dog. And if you learn how to shake just right, you'll make the fleas fall off. Well, if those fleas don't have a place to fall to, then they find themselves out of sync.
No,
out of
Right. That is the trapeze act I do. I create the model, support it, then I shake it up, and then I'm back at the bottom and say, no, the bodies are still here, and here's where you are. And then I run back up the top and shake the thing and shake them out, then catch them. No, I'm always playing that game.
Uh-oh, here comes Carol. So you're allowing the tail to wag the dog.
Just a second. What are you doing there, Carol?
All I can hear is you breathing into the microphone.
But what'd you do? Oh, can you hear me breathe now?
No.
Have you been listening to this conversation, Carol?
Of course.
This is very good.
Yeah.
Okay, what was that last line you said, Ian? It was a little aphorism.
It's like the tail wagging the dog.
Yes, and but it goes back and forth. They switch sides, the tail
that
and the dog.
That tail does. It does indeed.
It goes faster than the dog, the shape of the dog, and that's the tachyon. Now, okay, so
that's a little stretch. We were just using it. When you say it that way, it sounds cheeky. But if you think about it a little bit, the dog's not wagging the tail. The tail is indeed wagging the dog.
Yeah, no, we got that. But then people get limited and stuck in that idea, so you shift.
Bless them. You'll undo it as quick as they get it anyway.
Yeah. So miming the human condition because they do it to me.
Mm-hmm.
They understand me, then the next day they don't understand me. So.
Oh, my God. That means, now Marshall would say, so, Bob, you've become quite efficient in the capacity of miming the means.
Yes. Yes. Uh-oh. I'm laughing with you, but Carol's come in again. What are you doing, Carol?
I can see it. That's because you're sneezing and walking. You're breathing too hard, and all you're getting on the recording is breath.
Oh, okay. Well, this is top secret stuff. This is not going to be released for at least 3 weeks.
Oh, my stars. At least till Tuesday.
Normally we release it. It already is released. It's safe
in the arms of Jesus until Wednesday at 9 o'clock Hawaii time. Same bat station.
And all anarchy begins and all rules are off and everybody forgets and amnesia takes over and Bob just starts breaking the rules.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, so what? Okay, we're. I want to go back to a very good discussion of. I mean, I have noticed that that Ion has been advocating the exorcism of the bodies and the limitations of the model, and I understand all that and knew it and do it myself, but I recognize the usefulness of it, but we're ready to erase it any time.
Well, we're embracing it. And see, you're erasing things before some have had the chance to embrace it. And we're okay with embracing it. We're just saying focus on the largeness of the individual significance of the bodies. And then as they unfurl, can we have an example, and you'll either like it or hate it. You know, you have popcorn. You know what popcorn is?
Yes.
And it's little kernels.
Yeah.
And you apply heat. Sometimes they do it in the microwave now, but you can do it on the stove or in the pot or the kettle or the whatever. Well, once you apply heat, the skins of those, the actual moisture inside that, those kernels, they get to where they can't be contained anymore. And then what happens is they start to explode. And as they explode, it'll knock the lid off the pot that you're cooking the popcorn in. And that's the only way to get popcorn, is to explode those kernels into a new dynamic. And you're not pushing against the popping of corn. You're just confusing the process of the bodies that get the corn ready to be popped. So if your bodies can allow expansion larger than itself, then you won't be a mean that you will have to continually undo. You will make space for it, and some of the popcorn may splash out of the pot. But you don't have a problem with that, that's okay. But that doesn't make that less of a body. It just makes it more fluffy popcorn.
Yes, and the good way to do it is say that there are two conversations, two of everything,
yes.
So it's got to be two TV bodies and all that, and you get
yes.
10 bodies, and then you get the 11th
yes.
dimension. Which would be the mystery landscape. The tachyon would move us the 10, the 2, 5, double two of each. You got 10, well, at least 4. You get 4, and then the mystery landscape. Can we have 2 mystery landscapes?
Certainly,
2 mystery bodies? Yeah, we got 2. And then you got the 11th would be some kind of communication going on, and the tachyon is
Exactly, right? You're going to say exactly. Now here's
no, we weren't. We were going to say the mystery landscape is two because you've been cramming everything into the mystery landscape like a closet.
Yeah.
And you've been packing it so full because everything that doesn't fit somewhere else goes in the mystery landscape. So that's the closet.
Yes.
So now you got two mystery landscapes. You have two closets because when you open the door of the closet, some of the things that you've been packing in there are going to fall out.
Yeah.
Or the only part of the mystery landscape that you can identify as one of the two mystery landscapes are the things that when you open the door to that big closet are the things that you can see and identify in your mystery landscape.
Yeah.
The reason they're there is because you don't know which body to put them in. So if you don't fit somewhere, you chunk them in the closet. Well, the first mystery landscape is the one that you've chunked all the stuff into that you can see, or the stuff that falls and cracks you in the head when you stored it in there to capacity.
Yeah.
Then there's the other mystery landscape, which is the voluminous stuff that's beyond and behind the most newest, latest thing that had to go into the mystery landscape, which made that a two-part his and her walk-in closet.
Yes, so you have two of everything, therefore getting ten, and the 11th dimension is the discussion of that and creating out of the model as you go along. That's the 11th
dimension.
It's
the creator. It's the creator.
It's the creator.
It's the creator in respect to the dual five bodies.
Yeah, no, I got it. That's very useful. Okay, I want to go into some topics.
Implicating, but not implying.
Right. Back to the Mayans, did they use what we call DMT? Did they use herbs and psychedelics in their culture?
They didn't recognize it as that. That became normal. Yeah. They would say your use of sugars and other carbohydrates are also a
drug-related
process.
But if you're using those ayahuasca and those things that grows down there, they would eat it and they would get travelings, hallucinations, whatever you want to, chemicals.
No, not necessarily. It just sort of took the edge off, Bob. The same reason that digitalis is a flower and they use it to make the chemical lanoxin, which is the synthetic form for digoxin. It's just a remedy that helps with your heart.
Yes,
they just did what they did, and you're still using a lot of it in your soul, in your technology today.
Right. So as they say that alcohol is very explosive for Native Americans and Indians.
Why?
Well, just before. Okay, don't want to get into why yet. We find their DMT and ayahuasca explosive for us because it's an alien experience. But for them, it's not a problem.
Right.
It's normal.
They use it in balanced moderation. So
right. Yeah.
They, unlike you, control their sugar content.
Yes. And the Native Americans find a strong effect from fire water or liquor or alcohol. You were going to explain why?
No, we were asking why you said that, because we don't know that to be.
Well, it's part of our culture, urban legends, myths, that the Indians are all alcoholics, Native Americans are all alcoholics, they can't hold their liquor. And McLuhan played with that. He said the reason literate Western white man can hold his liquor is that literacy creates a separateness, makes you insensitive in a way. And you actually need liquor to be loosened up and be social, but you have a hard shell that protects, that diminishes the effect of alcohol. Now you give it alcohol.
Sounds like more Catholic than McLuhan.
That's all right. And then you give alcohol to Indians.
Now wait a second. Hold on. Just a minute. Hold my mule. Let me get this together. You have a culture, a sect, a group, a society, a nomenclature, Indian, okay?
Yeah.
You run them out of their own land, and you put them into the dirges of society in the places no other human being would want to be.
Right.
And you make that as a reservation. What do you call a reservation? That's when you have a doubt, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, so these people are moved to doubt.
Yes.
and they're limited. They were corralled.
Yeah.
And they had to be there.
Concentration camps, in a way.
Okay. Now, if you're going to a great restaurant, you might make a reservation to reserve. So if it's a reserve, okay, you might could embrace that. But a reservation might be something that you reserve that's not so pleasant. Okay? Then you're eliminating every capacity. You can't hunt for your own food because that's against the law. You can't pull the feathers off of dead birds because that's for the environmental people get all crazy. You can't do this, and so the only thing you can do is do beadwork or make blankets or peddle to the white man and use the white man's money or come to their place where they get their due from the government because of the reparation that should have been made for them being their happy hunting ground being removed and taken from them. Well, they had to align with all that process or it wouldn't be their experience. So now you're saying that because they're in that reservation that they're imbuing a fire water makes them sloppy drunks. Well, we have deference with that because the more alcohol you consume, the larger your tolerance becomes to it. Sorry, in that larger your resistance becomes to it, the more alcohol you can drink and not notice that you are what you call tipsy.
Right.
So if what you're saying is true, then they should have such a high tolerance to alcohol that they should run a 2.2 blood alcohol level all the time and be very normal.
Okay, but it seems to be that they're not because they can't hold their liquor.
They don't embrace all this fire water that you're just speaking of. Some may, just because they are looking for a reason.
Mm.
To a point, well, you've removed every other opportunity in my experience, and I've allowed it, so why don't we just get drunk and screwed?
Right. Now, the...
Still we're blue.
Right, so we've got
or red. Are they red men?
Yeah,
they're red men until they're dead. So, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, red until they're dead. so
and you keep going, and typically we're planning for chocolate, but you've been good with this. But at the rate you're going, you're going to have JW in the liquor cabinet trying to see which one works best at this level because it seems very enlightening as you're figuring it all out.
Yes.
We're just playing.
Yeah,
but anyhow, proceed.
So the cultural conditions for the Indians imbibing, is as you've laid them out, is one reason. McLuhan, as the put-on artist, wanted to point out the power of literacy and its undermining by electric environment. So he said that the Indians can't hold their liquor because they don't have the literate shield. Whether that's true or not, that's a very interesting pattern he comes up with. But you don't agree with it.
No, we don't, because they get it better than most of your chip body allows, because they go back to the old way, the old knowing way. They can see it coming before it gets there. They can dance, they can have a rain dance and usher in the rain into their experience.
Right, and you're saying that they know they go
your
back.
Chemical body doesn't allow that. Your chip body doesn't understand it. Your mystery landscape might fall into the hole that it digs, but they didn't do it from a mystery landscape. They know the process that you do to take power and charge as a creator, that the winds and the waves will obey your will.
Right, they know that. And
they don't wonder, they don't decide or see what Lou Dobbs thinks about it either.
So the image we have of a lot of violence and despondency in the reservation camps is maybe not true. They're having a good time in their camps.
Well, I don't know. It depends on how much reservation's left.
Okay. So the
what we're trying to say is, all of them, there's going to be disconnection with everybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be. Now, as a tribe, could they be happy? Well, no, they could go on the warpath and run you nasty white boys off of their damn property. and run your ass into the sea like you tried to do them. Well, then we'd be having a different conversation. Then all of a sudden, the empirical rule that they forfeited could come back to their place of being. Is so much so, just like you're chatting about your Maui countryside, you may get win it by default.
Yeah.
They may get Manhattan back because nobody's there anymore.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Boy, that was a twist, but anyhow.
Okay, so we brought up the alcoholism. You just... Oh, yeah. No, it was an issue of discussion this past week about McLuhan's statement about alcoholism. A lot of people disagreed with that point. Okay, so this... I want to go into another short topic. So the Mayans used the herbs and what we call psychedelic, psychotropic things. They had them in moderation in their culture. No big deal.
No more than a seed of medicine is in your reality. No big deal.
A seed of medicine?
A seed of medicine. Tylenol.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, this medium, we have another medium that was part of our lives a couple of years ago called Willows. Channeled by Dave Marsh, may have been his name, can't remember, in Toronto. The Willows told me about 2 years ago that I was on the edge of becoming enlightened. Excuse me. I would move into an enlightenment phase and shortly. I would say that they predicted my interaction with Ion. Would you agree with that?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, to the degree...
If your mystery landscape allows it.
Yes. So the Willows predicted my enlightenment 2 years ago. They might have...
If not, hell no, it's not the case. No, no, no.
Yeah, I mean, this is assuming some kind of evolution happened to me since March. I sound like you yawning while talking.
Well, now, wait, that's not fair. Yeah. It's not your 4:30 in the morning, yeah. Bob. What do you mean?
Yeah, I got you. Okay. Yeah. All right, sorry. Let's try to stay on topic here.
Oh, we'll do our best. Sorry. Yeah.
So I think the Willows, they were telling me that something interesting was coming into my life shortly, and we'll give them credit for predicting Ion. Would you like that? Do you like that pattern? That
in God we trust, all others pay cash. Give credit to no one.
Okay, so let's just check the name, the Willows, and maybe you could look at David, the Willows, David. David.
Are you trying to find Mr. Marsh?
Yeah, it's David Watson in Toronto area.
Okay.
He channels what's called the Willows. I can bring up his website and you can look at him. You can see the picture here of him, right?
Just ask your question.
What kind of medium is... He seemed to be not totally a real medium, but he seemed to be sort of capable. How would you rate Dave Watson's mediumship? Is he filtering a lot of it, his personality? Or is he actually tapping into the 293,000 entities the Willows said they were, as opposed to the 6,500 evergreens? How would you...
We wouldn't push against it. But see, the qualifier is what do the words say? That's how you, the creator, you judge what is and what is not. He might have just been a small rather than a large or a medium.
Yeah.
But what do the words say? Do they usurp themselves? Are they clear? Do they have inside information that is a logical progression that a human creator can embrace? Are they prophetic? Do they give prophetic utterances that can be judged as being live or memorex? Those are questions that can be asked and clear. You could just as easily have this and go with one that's transitioned, and so it stopped, meaning there's no more. And look at Jane Roberts and say, was she a good medium regarding the works of Seth? And we would say, absolutely, took human creators all day, every day, to new and new and new and new and new and more new places, and activated others in that place of coming into their notion and power. So wait till Mr. Watson's croaked and then tell how he did. Because he's still developing. He's still trying to figure out how to relax and allow. You don't push against those or even ask those qualitative questions, because sure as we answer, yes, he's the real deal, then somebody's going to go have a chat and he's going to get confused and say, we'll take a walk on the bridge, and they're going to hear what the willows say, and the willows say, take a jump off the pier. And then all of a sudden, he'll be arrested quickly for giving incorrect non-physical information, or tried for murder, or suffer some uncivil unrest from this dimension that's being propagated from asking a human physical creator how non-physical is doing.
Right, and the he's learning.
Jumped you right out of that hole, didn't we?
No, I'm trying to remember what my point was, but you could claim that was an effect. All right. Okay, so he's doing his thing. Were you saying that we'll judge him after he's transitioned?
Judge everything. You judge things before they've even begun.
But you're saying that Seth still activates people, so that's to Seth's credit.
Of course, you're saying
check how his work affects people after he's transitioned. That's what you're
saying. Sure, because he might be evolving.
Okay.
Psychics that have psychic power, everybody is a psychic, but many of them don't know it. So then your question then becomes, okay, Pollyanna, she's a psychic, but is she a good psychic, or does she just think she's psychic? Well, no, Pollyanna is psychic. Now, but she told me things that weren't so. Okay, well then that's your disconnection, not their issue. So you should judge your capacity of getting those psychic words from Pollyanna. Or how is Pollyanna being? If she's so psychic, she ought to know how the thing's going to go and be cognizantly aware of her environ and have a causal effect on the preciseness of the proximity of the work.
Yeah, well, who was the person listening or the psychic? I missed who the last person...
The psychic.
...was being talked about. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Basically, could you just say in 10 words what you just said? Judge the psychic on their work? Is that what you said?
Yes. If you judge the psychic on their present condition...
Yeah.
You disallow any future experience.
Okay, good. Now, here's a website.
That was exactly 10 words, by the way.
Very good. This is a website that James pointed me to. It says, this is conclusive evidence that Michael has staged his death, folks. And it lists various points. Let's run through them. Janet Jackson, after the memorial, speaks of Michael in present tense. And then they have a YouTube. Was she aware that Michael would stage his death before?
No.
But she knows he's alive. She does know he's alive now, right? Do you agree that...
Ask her.
Beg your pardon?
Ask her.
You don't want to say.
Right.
All right. The next thing, Rebbe...
There is a homicide investigation going on, Bob.
That's right. So they're not going to emphasize that he staged his death. Too much money.
Well, no, that's not what we're talking about, but we may have just given you a clue. We may have just given you a ball of string, Bob. We may have given you some twine to find your way to the labyrinth. If I would not be able to speak regarding that position, that might give you a great deal of insight into the conspiracy of the conspiracy theory, wouldn't it?
Yes, because... there's a lot of money to be made to prove that he died, and so why emphasize the other? So I can.
And when she's the one that's worth $100 million already, straight out ahead of all of them.
And so she's worth that, and
At least that.
So she doesn't need any more money, so she could believe.
Oh, well, but now that's in the eye of the beholder now, isn't it?
Right. So Rebbe, I don't know who that is, but maybe that's one of the brothers, I don't know. Rebbe is smiling like Michael didn't die, so they give another picture you can look at. Then they say Randy and Marlon, they're probably brothers or sisters or whatever. Randy and Marlon smile and are in good spirits 2 days after Michael dies, as if Michael has not died.
Well, they're the ones that are walking around doing odd jobs trying to survive.
Are they brothers?
Yes.
But they're smiling.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they would Ion agree that they know that Michael didn't die and that's why they...
No, we would not agree with that. They're oblivious. They're just mad because the Jackson 5 didn't make them any money.
Right, and but so this person is showing a picture of them looking happy. It doesn't mean anything in terms of proving Michael's still alive. Ion would feel that way, right?
Yeah, because they didn't care. They didn't talk to him in life. Why would they talk to him in death?
Right, so that's, they could be smiling because they never heard of him. Rebbe is smiling. Do you know who Rebbe is? Is he another relative?
Okay. We don't know. Spell it, Bob.
R-E-B-B-I-E. Maybe it's a rabbi. Yeah.
No, it's not the twin.
Okay, it's one of the relatives, is your point.
Okay.
At 3:52 at the closing of the memorial service clip, they got a YouTube, you look at it, the screen message reads, quote, "I'm alive and I'm here forever."
Mm-hmm.
I think Ion had pointed out that point in the ceremony, right?
Yes.
So that's interesting.
Check the website, Bob. It's there. You can buy the CD. It's great.
Okay. The next point. The death certificate is not signed by a physician, in this case Conrad Murray, and by law it has to be signed by a physician. I would agree with that.
Somebody must have listened to your cash flow show and made a website.
Yeah.
Did you copyright that material, Bob?
No, we didn't. Catherine, we're just putting it out for the public. Catherine Jackson.
Oh, you're so kind.
Yeah, at Catherine Jackson at Target, someplace, days after Michael died. They don't describe what it is, but you go on the YouTube and look at it. Kai Chase.
Target is a store.
Yeah.
Like a Kmart.
And so it's like she's having a good time. She's not bothered.
Well, I can imagine being happy at a Target if you were Catherine Jackson, but.
Yeah. Kai Chase, Michael's chef, is interviewed by Larry King. Listen to the question and answer from 3:15 to 3:47. So they're discussing Kai Chase, the chef. He probably doesn't really...
She. It's a she.
Right, doesn't project that he's dead. And then it says no...
Well, she was there, supposedly, when he died.
Right, so check. They're telling us to check that part of the Larry King interview. No tears actually flow down from anyone. Nobody's seen crying. The Jackson kids and brothers sing We Are the World in front of Michael's coffin. Again, no tears. Blanket is still unsure what's happened to his father. Let me give a little quote, a little YouTube. I guess you would click on these URLs and see the blanket. The blanket reaction completely conflicts with the answer Jermaine gave to Matt Lauer on the Today Show. And gives the time, so you'd look at that and see, yes, it conflicts. The ambulance is slow to leave, but then suddenly speeds off with no sirens on.
Correct.
We talked about that one. Do you think these people heard our thing?
Well, they certainly got it from somewhere, Bob.
Right. But can Ion say they got it from us, some of it?
Well, sure we can. No, they got it from James Martinez.
Yes, and you could...
He's outing you, Bob. That's the conspiracy.
but I mean, James is outing us.
Yeah.
Yeah. But can I know who these people are made the website? You can see them, and you can see if they heard any of our material. Can you know that? Can you check that out?
Yeah, you can know that. You certainly can.
And you do, and you see that they did. But they add this, even with a flash on a camera, it is difficult to take a picture like this, especially when a truck is in motion. Also, the picture has a reflection of a red car. There was a red car, but nowhere near the photographer at the time the picture was taken. And why is he tan? So I guess the whole picture is suspect.
Of course.
Yeah, and okay, Kit Kat says, okay. they say, someone responds in the comments, the video where Mrs. Jackson is buying sleeping bags and stuff, did people notice how much of each when they're at the cashier, there's a guy that reaches over and grabs four long boxes, not sure what's in it. Mrs. Jackson bought four sleeping bags, three children, one father. And there is a video of Mrs. Jackson leaving Michael's house. I'm assuming it is the same day she went shopping because she's wearing the same shirt. She was busy that night, no disrespect. I'm so positive he's alive, and I would not be mad if he faked his death. Another thing, when Jermaine announced the death of Michael at the end, he asked the media to respect the family privacy. Well, for people who want their privacy respected, they sure are doing a lot of interviews. I don't understand. I believe his daughter Paris was being very truthful at what she said at Michael's memorial. But not because he's dead, but because she's 11 years old now. She reads and hears what the media have said and says about her father, and she just wanted to make it clear that her daddy has been the best father you could ever imagine and how much she loves him. When what we believe here is true, I hope it doesn't take too long for him to reveal his hoax. I don't think he did it for money. He's been afraid of people wanting to kill him. I don't know for what, but for this is just something going on. But for the police and doctors and all the people involved in this, just maybe Michael and his family had enough proof to prove to the police that something bad was going to happen. That they put him in protective custody. They do it with other people whose life is in danger. They fake their deaths, change their identities, and they disappear. Just a thought. So that was the response to all that work that Mike, James, and I did. We had rambling, youthful minds. New Michael Jackson sighting hits YouTube. Michael Jackson's burial postponed again till September 3rd. Well, it's still postponed, right? Or did they do it on the other day, September 3rd? Was he buried?
Michael's not dead.
No, that's right.
He wasn't buried.
But did they act out the ceremony on September 3rd? They probably did because it was in the news the other day, right? They
were going to do something. Well, then it must be so.
Right. No, I mean, did they pretend to bury something on September 3rd, maybe?
We don't know of a ceremony yet.
Oh, okay. Michael Jackson to be buried on his birthday. I don't know his birthday. Okay. Do you know his birthday right off, just quickly? Can you say his birthday? Do you know Michael Jackson's birthday?
It is in September.
Okay. I'm just checking the wiki on that. Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson.
No, it is not. He was, because he had just turned 50.
Right. So it says here his birthday is August 29th. That's close to September.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so...
So if they buried him on his birthday and it's September the 3rd, somebody's got a problem.
Yes, it is not his birthday. So August 29th, you would agree that's his birthday?
Good as any.
All right. So we did that. Willows, Mayans used DMT, the prince is bankrupt. We did Danny Casolaro, September 22nd, Equinox. My headphones and JW's fiber optics, both headaches. Madeline Murray O'Hare, Area 54, how does the child know? We did that. Are new souls being created?
No.
They're not being created.
Nope.
So what is being born all the time here?
The souls that have transitioned to the Gov that choose to come back.
Right, and there's millions and billions of those.
Well, now...
Here's a question. The mystery body that will take me in a foreign world, into a foreign world, a foreign world vehicle or something, takes me to their world. Do they, those entities, die into the guff, the same guff
no.
as us? No, that's interesting. Got more than one guff?
No.
Why don't they die in the same guff that I would transition in?
Because the rules and the regulations prohibit that other interaction. Then you'd be mixing the souls from other worlds.
And the Evergreens said this, and what's interesting, the Evergreens agree with you. They said that the ETs, the Boodians, and their terms for other world people, do not experience them, us from Earth, do not experience them on the astral plane or wherever you go when you die.
You do not have miscegenation in the Gulf.
Right, but so where do those entities transition to when they leave the physical?
Well, it depends on their creation of their world, you see. It's how a human creator attaches it to that. You can't, it's only limited to what the Creator creates.
So the humans here created the guff.
Their guff, yes.
Yeah, created their guff.
And all the parallel worlds, there are limitlesses of them.
Yeah.
They all share in the human form one gulf.
In the human form, but in other forms they don't share the same gulf.
That is correct.
And what would a non-human form of one of these sentient beings look like? You know, we talked about they share the human form, they go to the same gulf. Can you describe a different form of a living in the physical being?
Bob, you can't even figure out what your human forms in human forms look like. So how could you come to a place of embracing a descriptive adjective of a non-human form in its whole tactility of a different race? You can't even keep up with hair colors or women that you sleep with, let alone foreign forms, because it changes, you see.
Well, I'm talking about humans. They have two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, a mouth, two arms, two legs.
That, all of them?
Most of them. Not everybody, but most
well,
of them.
Well, okay.
That is a standard human form, okay, generally, all right? We can agree on that, I think. That's what I mean. What do the beings that aren't human, don't have that form I just described, what do they have? 10 arms? Do they have no arms? What are they?
Nope.
little piece of crystal?
They look like Democrats.
No, come on. What do they look like? Wait, this is too much for Bob to take. You're going to play with me because you can't tell
yes,
me.
Yes, we are. We are indeed.
They look like the black smoke.
Okay.
Listen. They look like the black smoke in the Lost TV series. They look like
yes.
Weird insects.
And sometimes Republicans, but not so much.
Come on, forget that anthropomorphic projection. Give it to me. What do they look like? Little.
They have various forms. They have various forms, and the form has nothing to do with what they really look like. The form is based upon what the rods and the cones in your eyes perceive. So you can't even see the unquieted dead walking around your house right now, and yet they are. And you want to then know what the ascended beings look like when you can't recognize the non-physical ones strolling about your house right now. And you want the answer to the question. Well, the answer to the question is, as the rods and the cones in your eyes can open them, the pictorial, through the labyrinth of your mind, you cannot get an opinion of what they look like. You can see them in real life because you're the marvelous creator. So, therefore, then those lizard people that are supposed to be running around gobbling you up are these reptilian things that are so nasty and dark and trying to usurp your beingness and behind the skull and crossbones and trying to bring forth this illuminated new world order and all these other different plights that befall the reality of this foolishness. And then you go to the different areas where alien beings have been attached and they pickle their guts and put them in jars and keep looking at them and going to open it up for a theme park soon. We're but sure and positive and that those Martians are what they are. Oh, wait, that's where men are from. Oh, wait, the Venetians. Oh, no, that's where women are from. So it's all limited. It could be as easy as you describe it as a feeling place
right.
That you could see. But typically, just like those Native Americans who had never seen the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria or a ship, a vessel before.
Yeah.
When those ships were pulling into their, well, they didn't have a port, but when they were pulling up to their space, they could not see them until the shaman said, those are boats.
Right, I understand that. And the,
we could tell you, we could do a snapshot. We could send it to you through your email. You'd get it, and you'd say, no, I can't see anything. There's nothing there. What are you talking about? You sent me a picture, and there's nothing there. Okay, watch your inbox. We'll send you a photograph of the top 10 alien beings, and you tell which one looks closest to what you think of the alien beings are, and then that'll be the answer to your question. But you won't be able to see them because you can't embrace that concept, even though it's your place of asking, because you're not asking for an answer, you're asking for a validation, number one, that there are alien beings outside of your humanness.
Yeah. Yeah, now, well, since that night we went out in the veranda and I looked up and I saw the big moon face or the ion face in the clouds.
Yes.
That's an approximation of an alien life form may be permeating this room and I might think I got a mosquito bite. And it's actually the alien thing right inside me and beside me, right? That's how invisible they are to my rods and cones.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean,
and it could also cause a little abrasive side on your foot. It's like a little crack that's a little bit painful.
Or a little neck soreness.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay, so we learned a lot from the Irrigans. The Irrigans could tell me everything in terms of human knowledge. Right? I could take any topic and you could talk about it. Right?
But we are the Evergreens.
Oh, I'm sorry. They were like that. So I'm saying you, Ion, I could take any topic and you would have something to say about it.
If you could form the answer in the form of a question, yeah.
Right. So the interesting thing is that we have our own little Akashic record here, if you think of it, that can talk about anything, and that's pretty remarkable, isn't it?
And we built it just specifically for the lost scrolls, to store the lost scrolls from Alexandria.
Oh, I was there. It's a good point. I discussed that with Barbara Ann. We never got it clear. Has Ion done some observing about Gurdjieff? Can we figure out what the heck Gurdjieff was and that he didn't go into Guff, he didn't exist? Is there a new aspect you'd like to tell me today as opposed to 24 hours ago? That would
ask the question and we'll answer.
Was Gurdjieff a person from the past? As opposed
no.
to the future? Was he a person from the future?
Yes.
Now, that reminds me, did I... Okay, so he was from the future. We didn't really say that last time.
Was, is.
He is, and did he go into the Guff? No. He went back to the future he was from.
Yes.
What is the date of the future, or what is the state of entertainment? Like how, I know there's no time, but what is the quality of the future? What is the environment? Is he chipped? Is he half cyborg? You know, what future, how far off in the future is he?
Well, it depends on how long it takes you to activate the knowing that there's tachyon pulses and then there's no time and then we won't ever have to have that conversation again.
Oh, okay. How did he get here? What vehicle did he use?
Rift.
Ah, so that means he's from the other world, like there are many others from the other... He was a Rift Rider.
He is a Rift Rider. I was.
Yeah.
He hasn't happened yet, Bob.
He hasn't happened yet, so he's a future Rift Rider.
Yes.
How did those that saw, that experienced him in the 1920s experience him since he hadn't happened yet?
Well, the same way they're finding the bodies of dead pharaohs who haven't been buried yet.
He deposited here.
Yes.
And some people found him.
Yes.
And others didn't.
Right.
And this is, you're a little clearer about it than last night because you had to give me some hints, then I percolate, go riff riding on it, and check it out last night, then come back, and then I'm able to hear a little more. Is that what the process here?
It is.
Right.
Because otherwise, you know, it becomes overwhelming.
Pretty neat. So there are many riff riders over here, and but he's from a future position in the other parallel world.
And what's wrong with that?
That's interesting, but it's interesting how only a few experienced him because he was from the future. What made those see him that did experience him?
Well, the ones that lined up their cones and rods
right.
to embrace it, and then they gave it their undivided attention, and then it showed up in their experience.
Activities going on like this all over the place. There are different entities coming in. Okay, Alexandria Library. Maybe we've had 24 hours to sift that. Is it a something from the future, a building from the future that was there and then disappeared? Was it a building brought over from the rift? I'm just trying to think of different scenarios, assuming it wasn't a normal building. Do you have you agree with those statements?
Never gonna do that. You gotta ask the question.
Where was the, why is the Alexandria Library hard to pin down where it was and when it existed?
Because it went to the future.
It went to the future.
The library.
But where it went from was someplace here in what we call Egypt.
Alexandria.
It went to the future, and who sent it there? Is it like the Mayans? The Mayans made themselves go into the black hole, but did someone send the library, meditated into the future? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
Yeah, it was, okay,
that's so... That's not exactly right, but it's so close you can't tell the difference.
Right, there was some human agency there in transporting it. Or maybe the future came and grabbed it.
No, Bob, you can move. See, you get all this tangled up. You think a universe has to be more than you can consume, and you think a library is something that they'd call a moving truck for. No, no, you can take it all in your hand and just seamlessly put it in your pocket and then go to the other world and bring it out at you when you want to.
When we talk about going to the future, that's not going to the riff-riding other world, is it? No, it's like going to the actual future within this time thread, so to speak, this time span.
Not necessarily. You can take, we've already established, you can have a concept or idea, take it to a parallel world, try it out, see how it's going to hit and work out, come back home, if this is what you call home, and apply that to what you experience there, right here.
Okay, so was
it... Hey, he brings things back from other worlds all the time.
Right, so the Alexandria Library was here before it went to the future, correct?
Yes.
Was it built by humans?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So it was built by humans, but then it left. That's the point. It wasn't burnt down. It left.
Right.
And were there books that noted that have disappeared?
Yes. And they haven't disappeared.
Right. And yet there were Plutarch and known writers of that era. They came up with another story because they didn't know any better. There wasn't... Was there a lack of underbelief about it, so they came up with the fact it was burnt down, or they just didn't even know that it had been transported and just thought it was burnt down because that's what they were told? Is that what we're talking about with Plutarch?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, good. All right, so we're coming to the end, and...
is it time already? What is it, 5-something?
It is 13 after 5 for JW.
Mm.
You've been going almost 4 hours, so...
Okay.
The things that we've been discussing the last 20 minutes about Gurdjieff, about parallel worlds, well, we've been talking about it for months. Is that is new for non-physical to tell humans that, eh? Is there much on record about the way we're hearing about parallel worlds from Ion?
Yes.
There's not too much in other mediumships record of that kind of talk, right?
We're not aware of it.
So this is new stuff. This should put Ion on the map. People should hear about Ion. It's new. It's all the news that is the news about what we haven't heard about before, right?
Across the living nation, right?
Right. So glad to be working with you, Ion, to make this available. And so I knew that I was going to do this when I was born, right?
You did.
Yeah, I came in with the thunder saying, woohoo, I've arrived, and we're going to shake it up here in this disco. So we're doing it ever since.
Yeah.
So I spent...
So therefore, maybe if you could send Claudia in and get the disco ball from Studio 54, well, you could have a party for sure.
Right, I do have the disco ball on my chart, so it fits. So I went looking around for this work through the Cosmic Awareness, the Evergreens, and other mediums. I was on the path looking for the contact, and that we could announce this visitation from the future, the past, and the present. Ion is not just a visitation from the future, is it? It's a visitation from the past and faster than the speed of light tachyon level.
Yeah, okay, that's all right.
Is ion?
I mean, it limits, but it's okay.
Yeah, ion is at least a tachyon, but probably more.
No. We're just non-physical. That's all.
Yeah, and tachyon.
Tachyon is a test. The tachyon
is part of physical. It's not non-physical.
That's correct. Very good.
Right. Okay. Good. And the rods and cones are very key physiological, like a chromosome 14, an interface with other possibilities. Right. The rods and cones.
Otherwise, they can't be embraced in your beingness.
Right. So I get this image that the making of the creativity that we have in our being is a very interesting, subtle process. And we haven't even begun to touch in our normal scientific or other knowledge about what.
Well, you really have, because look how you play this as a human creator. You get born, you got 20/20 vision, everything's rolling along good. You get 40 or 42 or whatever the new age is, it keeps changing.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden your lenses change and you have to have cheaters. Or if you're not prone to glasses, but you get tired of what you see.
Yeah.
You get tired of what you look at. So then what happens is your vision fails.
And if you knew there was more and could activate the more, then you still have your vision and wouldn't be tired anymore.
And it can come back.
Yeah, once you activate your access to other worlds and see there's more than what you thought, right?
Yeah, but it's not even really about other worlds. It's just you're tired of what you're looking at.
Yeah, so you go to a new place, like I could improve my vision because I'm in a new place here.
Of course.
Okay, just...
And they actually have.
Good. I maybe shouldn't wear my glasses as much as what you're recommending.
Well, you should consider it and see how you go.
Right, good point. The fourth place, in the August 23rd, we talked about the three...